What is up, everybody? Welcome back to 4D. Of course, it's the Dallas Cowboys, the NFL draft, and Doomsday Defense. We have a very special guest this week. No, Joseph, it's not you.
Sorry.
We have the wonderful, talented, amazing follow, if you're not, Kyle Yeomans. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy to be talking some Cowboys and even a little bit of NFL draft. It was funny. I had a dream the other day that I was already in Mobile, Alabama. It was a very vivid dream. I was already in Mobile. It was already Senior Bowl time. It's not yet because the Cowboys are 9-4. Cowboys are working toward the playoffs. We're not there yet. Almost there. And then we can start talking some draft after that whole run concludes. But I'm excited to talk about all of it anyways.
Yeah, we like to kind of cover the draft as the season goes because, you know, you start shaping that now, right? Like you start seeing what the Cowboys might need. You start seeing what other teams might need. You start seeing the players in college. So we like to kind of cover it. It's always draft season, as we always say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start off really quickly and easily recapping the Cowboys' victory, right, over the Washington football team. You know, most of us affectionately call it something else, but hey, I'll leave that alone. So first I'm going to go to Kyle. Kyle, is the offense a worry from what you saw? How good is this defense? And kind of what did you see take away from the last game?
Well, first off, yes, the offense is definitely a worry because it wasn't just the fact that, well, 20 of the 27 points that were scored by the Cowboys were effectively at the hands of the defense, setting the offense up or actually doing the scoring themselves for the most part. You could argue, honestly, the majority, maybe even more so than that, were set up by the defense and the way that they were successful against the football team this past Sunday. So, yes, this one game specific, then it's definitely a worry, but it's also been a problem over the last 5-6 weeks of the regular season. I mean, you go back to the Kansas City game and Dak Prescott's only thrown 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions since the Kansas City game. And that had included a 30-plus point game against the Las Vegas Raiders on Thanksgiving. So it really does make things tough when you've seen the ceiling of this offense. If this was a constant all the way throughout the season, I don't think you're as worried about the offense. But now you've seen what they could do from an offensive standpoint. You want them to get back to that because you asked me about how good this defense is. You're seeing the ceiling of this defense. You're seeing that continue to push the bar and continue to win via the defense. I mean, four takeaways in 2 straight games. First time since, 2007 that we've seen that happen for the Cowboys. So it is pretty remarkable the way that they've been playing on all 3 levels of the defense at the moment, and I think they're only going to continue to get better. But now as you're seeing the ceiling of the defense, you've seen the ceiling of the offense, you want those things to both hit the same time mm-hmm. once you get into playoff time coming up here in about a month. So you've got some time to fix it, but it definitely is a concern.
Yeah, and Joseph, I'll throw this one to you as well. You know, are you worried about the offense, right? Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, there are a lot. I wrote an article this last week. I don't know if anybody got a chance to read it yet, but I talk about all of the issues with the offense, and mm-hmm. a lot of people want to put it on Dak Prescott. It is not just on Dak Prescott, right? Mm-hmm. There's some issues with Kellen Moore and the play calling and the play design. We're seeing receivers within 5 yards of each other on routes, which should not happen, right? And unless you're doing a clear out, should not happen. You're seeing a whole bunch of things, offensive line patchwork off and on. You know, is it going to be Williams? Is it going to be McGovern? Is it going to be, you know, Tyron going to be out there? Is he not? If not, who's going to be left tackle? Like, there's a whole bunch of questions there. Is Dak's calf bothering him? We don't know that, right? But literally since he came back, we've seen a change in this offense. So, you know, there's a whole gamut of things. So just, are you worried just based off this, what you saw, and what did you take away from this last game?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best thing is we won and we basically put a stranglehold on the NFC East. Like, I mean, we pretty much have unless there's an epic collapse, which I don't see happening. we have the NFC East wrapped up. But of course, our goal is not the NFC East. Our goal is the Super Bowl. So we want more than that. So it is kind of concerning with the offense. And I'm with you guys and everything that you're saying. And you're right. I've been on Twitter and having Twitter wars with people because everybody wants to put it on one person. And it's, you know, either there's a group of that, oh, it's all on Dak. Dak can't read defenses. Dak can't do this, you know. Or then there's a whole group, oh, it's all on the offensive line. And then there's another group, oh, it's all on Kellen Moore. And everybody's just trying to settle on one person when, like you guys said, it's a multitude of things. You know, Dak is not playing to his best. He even admits it himself. Kellen Moore is not calling as good of a game as he did in the beginning of the season. He's not. The offensive line isn't playing great. We've kind of had musical chairs going on with the offensive line, not playing great. The wide receivers are not running correct routes a lot, unfortunately, you know. And I saw a stat before the Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper have played less than 100 snaps together this year. Yeah. Like, that's a big deal. Like, there's not that – they're not in sync with each other right now. And that could be leading to why they're so close together, you know, on routes. So, you know, a wide receiver runs a wrong route and, you know, ends up in the same spot. So we're seeing a lot of confusion with that. The run game has been – very inefficient, even though teams are daring us to run. And so it's a multitude of things going on with the offense right now. And I'm hoping, and I believe that with more work, more time together, they'll get this figured out in time for the playoffs. I do want to speak on the defense because I think the defense has obviously carried this team the last few weeks. They've been playing great. They're finally healthy. That the pass rush is just insane with Gregory Lawrence and Micah Parsons. And you asked how good this defense could be. Dare I say it, Dan? Dare I say the new doomsday defense? Our podcast started this year. I wouldn't be mad if our podcast brought on the bringing of the new doomsday defense.
Yeah, and you know, here's the interesting thing about the defense. It's like they can still get better, right? There's a couple of flaws in the defense. So mm-hmm. we still have some questions about cornerback too. Right. Mm-hmm. You've seen Brown out there, and it's not like he's been awful. He's actually been pretty decent.
Yeah.
But, you know, people automatically, you see the highlight catches over him. You see people, they're bullying him a little bit that, you know, people are like, okay, CB2.
They're still targeting him on third and long. Third and long, they're just throwing it up in his direction and saying, maybe we'll get a catch. Maybe we'll get a pass interference, you know.
And then the other piece of that is the run defense. Right. Like there are some lapses in this run defense that have happened. Granted, they've held well. It's been going okay. But I think we've all seen where, you know, they're in a way they're teetering on that old school Cowboys approach of, you know, get to a point and what you're doing is you're leaving your gap a little bit by getting so much pressure. It's worked for them because there's some solid run stopping on the back end. But I think, you know, as they figure this out and, you know, we know about Urban, which is terrible because, mm-hmm. you know, we great run defender. But do you see how they can fix those two things, just those two little things? Kyle, like, what do you think? Is that possible now or is this the ceiling for the year?
So first off, I kind of want to address the run defense because I was looking at that the other day as well, kind of looking at some of the numbers. And the rankings aren't great. They're in the mid-20s in terms of rushing yards and yards per carry and things of the sort. But honestly, when you go back and you really watch the film, what tailback, with the exception of Denver's probably the one game where you can mm-hmm. kind of throw that in there and say, hey, they dominated you up front and they did it for all four quarters. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't really have a whole lot of success. Josh mm-hmm. Jacobs didn't have a whole lot of success. The Saints didn't run the ball at all. Neither did the Washington football team and Antonio Gibson. The Falcons didn't do anything in terms of the run. The Patriots didn't run the ball exceptionally well. So I feel like it might just be a little bit of PTSD when it comes to the 2020 season of having so many lapses in the run defense that now Cowboys fans are looking at it and they're just waiting for the floodgates to open back up. They're just waiting for things to go wrong in terms of the run defense. Whereas I think, for the most part, if they've played a stout tailback, they've actually done a really nice job of stopping them and at least limiting the damage to where their defense does make an impact on the back end. I don't think we're seeing the ceiling just yet of this defense. And I said that early on, you're starting to see it. That's because your guys are healthy. That's because you're getting DeMarcus Lawrence back and in a groove. Randy Gregory is going to see more snaps this week. Neville Gallimore, who's a good run defender, is going to see more snaps as we go along as well. And when you have so much rotation and so much talent on your front seven, or at least the even more specifically on your defensive line, it allows for you to be more free at the second level with guys like Micah Parsons and even Leighton Vander Esch, who had a 90-plus PFF grade this past week. It allowed him to play free because he doesn't have to worry about plugging holes. You have these guys taking up multiple gaps. There was one play specifically. It was the sack, the second sack from Micah Parsons, the non-strip sack that he had of Taylor Heinicke in that Washington game, where it was a phenomenal job of the defense of taking up multiple gaps, taking up multiple offensive linemen, and it left Micah Parsons one-on-one with Antonio Gibson, a battle that he is going to win 9 times out of 10. So It's the scheme, it's the talent up front that you're getting back, and then also I think just compounding on what they've done to build that confidence as the season's gone along, because you're starting to see not only a talented defense, which they've been in the past, but you're seeing a healthy and talented defense, and that's something to be scared of.
Yeah, and with the running game real quick, Joseph, so with the running game, it isn't so much the running backs that are doing the damage, it's the quarterbacks that are doing the damage, right?
Good point.
And that's the piece, is like, can they fix, because you're going to hit the Kyler Murrays, right? You're going to hit these guys who definitely have some mobility to them, and that's run game piece. You know, like I said, they've been holding well, but there is that little piece where we're seeing that quarterback, you know, he's running 8 yards before anybody's there.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing that piece. And that's just the little nugget I was kind of looking for. Sorry.
No, that's the great point with that, because the only thing that I have as kind of rebuttal there is you're not going to see Taysom Hill in the playoffs. That's a different type of running back. So then it's more of talking about the contain.
Yeah.
It's more of, can Randy Gregory, can DeMarcus Lawrence get up the field and allow that pocket to really form and then enclose that pocket to really kind of constrict quarterbacks at the same time to allow them from getting out. Because you're right, Kyler Murray is going to find his way open. You cannot allow him to do what he did effectively against the Rams on Monday Night Football this week. He was able to run for multiple yards and really keep his team alive. I know they lost that game, but they really allowed his legs – to keep them in the ball game. You can't allow that to happen, especially in week 17, or if you see him in the playoffs as well.
Yeah. I just wanted to speak to your point on Leighton Vander Esch. Dan and I have hit on this about how important it is for defensive line play, especially defensive tackle play, to free up the linebackers or off the ball linebackers. We've harped on this since we started this podcast. And with, you know, Tristan Hill coming back and now Neville Gallimore coming back, they're taking up those blocks. They're occupying that, and it's freeing up. Like I saw Leighton Vander Esch running to the running back free multiple times. Yeah. So that's going to help your run game with Leighton Vander Esch and Mark Parsons being free. But not only that, as I said before the game, I said last week that Leighton Vander Esch seemed like he was playing scared of contact. He seemed like he would, maybe, I don't know if it was scared of injury or his neck or whatever, but he seemed like he was hesitant to take on blocks. Well, we didn't see that against Washington. He was throwing his body around. There's one play in particular in the fourth quarter where the running back's coming and the guard pulls. And Leighton Vander Esch lowers his shoulder, runs through the guard, and makes the tackle. And I haven't seen that from Leighton Vander Esch since 2018 in his rookie year. So that was super encouraging. I don't know what got into him, but he was throwing his body around. I'd love to see it, and I want to see more of that.
Let me ask you this, Joseph. If you're seeing that now, is it maybe just a fact that Leighton Vander Esch doesn't want to miss out on the fun? He doesn't want to be left out, because if he's looking around, he's saying, oh my gosh, that guy just made a play. Oh wow, he made a play. Trayvon Diggs is the league leader in interceptions. And then we got Micah Parsons, who's in the DPOY conversation. I want to be a part of this.
Yeah, there's something clicked for him, and I hope it continues, because from the very first play against Washington, he was making more contact and initiating contact like he hasn't done in a while. And I don't know if he just said, you know what, forget it, like I'm just going to play, and whatever happens, happens. Like, I don't know what it was that clicked for him, but I'm glad to see it. And I want to see that, more of that from him, because I want him to get back to the Wolf Hunter, because he was one of my favorite players coming, you know, and then injuries, unfortunately, have derailed his career a little bit. And he hasn't played well this year, as we've many people have pointed out, he hasn't been as good as we expected. And how he played against Washington is how I expected him to play all year. And so I hope that, hey, he's like, I want to get in on this fun, like you said.
But, you know, and let's be honest, you know, how many weeks ago was it Jalen was gone, was let go, right? Like, and then how many games in such a short time that you had to adjust, and, you know, not having somebody he's been next to the entire career, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not saying that's a piece of it, but there could be a piece. It's like the receivers getting into sync with people, right?
Yeah.
It's potential that, you know, here he is. And to Kyle's point, hey, I went in on the fun, something clicked, and, you know, he's starting to feel really comfortable with, you know, Micah and all the guys next to him. So I don't know if that's a case, but, you know, I kind of wanted to throw it out because we never consider that when we talk football, right? We
definitely. That.
And so fairly, he's been next to Jalen how long now?
You know, his whole career.
Yeah. And so readjusting and knowing now I can trust Micah, where maybe you didn't feel you could trust Jalen and you were looking for a different thing. You were like, oh, I got to watch the back door, right? I got to watch this, or I got to look at this. Now you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and even when that change came down from a Jalen Smith standpoint, think about Micah Parsons. It was one game he was back there at the second level, and the other game he's playing on the pass rush side. So he's never really had an opportunity to settle in. And even going back, sure, you can say that Jalen Smith only played the handful of games that he did prior to him getting cut. But he's been, like you said, been around for years. And then even for throughout training camp, who had all the first team snaps? It was Micah Parsons, Leighton Vander Esch, and Jalen Smith. So having all three of those guys pretty much as he's the lone dog there at that point, because either Micah's up on the line of scrimmage or Jalen Smith is no longer with the team, it does leave him out to dry a little bit. And you're playing with guys as like a big nickel of Jaron Kearse, or you're bringing up a Keona Neal. It's not the same as having those guys around you that you know and have played with previously.
Yeah, and it's just something as we talk, you know, as all fans and all people talk, you know, football, we have to remember when we talk chemistry, it's also not just team chemistry, but also chemistry within a player, right?
Yeah.
I feel confident playing next to this person, or I know what to expect out of this person. And sometimes that does mess things up a little bit. So, okay. So offense needs work. Defense looks elite, right? Look, special teams is even showing
up. Isn't that – wait, hold up, hold up, hold so up, backwards. Hold up, hold up. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Did you just hear what you said about the Dallas Cowboys?
Coming into this year, me and Dan said that the offense was going to be elite, and if we could have a middle-of-the-pack defense, we'd be great.
Exactly. Yep. And you just said, oh, the offense needs work, and the defense is elite. What is going on?
I have no clue. You know – as much as I've done this and as much as I've covered the Cowboys and written about them, I have no clue. No.
You could not have convinced me in the beginning of the year to say that the offense would have been middle of the pack and the defense would have been in top five in EPA allowed and DVOA. You couldn't have convinced me. There's no way.
Nope. And look, like I said, special teams is starting to show up. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're getting crazy. There's no way. There's no way.
I'm just saying. don't kill
them. It's wild.
So we're about to face a really depleted team, right? We're like massively depleted. If there is a time to kind of test your offense a little bit, right? Kind of start pushing some things in there, rework some things. This would be the week, right? Because you have another one with Washington. You have, you know, of course, the Eagles. You have Arizona. This is the game, right, that you should be able to hopefully get back on track. So looking forward to this game, what are the things you're watching for, both on offense and defense? Let's just not – I'm not even going to go with special teams because that's still too crazy for me. So we'll start with Joseph. What are you looking for this week, especially on offense and defense?
Well, first of all, on offense, I'm looking for Dak and the receivers to be in sync. You know, I'm looking for them to be able to you know, run the right routes, and Dak's reading the defense well, and he's making the throws, and they're catching the ball when he makes the throws. We haven't been getting that. And then also the run game. I think the run game is super important, especially when teams are daring you to run the ball and they're having light fronts or light box. And they're saying, hey, run on us. You know, we were able to do that in the beginning of the year, and we haven't been able to do that consistently. So those are the two main things I'm looking for the offense. Defense is get after the quarterback. Get after the quarterback. I want to see this line do what they did to Washington football team. And I want to see Micah Parsons, maybe not this game. He's still a couple away, but I want to see Micah Parsons break that rookie sack record. He's got three to go, and he has the record. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think I'll start with the run game. You mentioned that as well. And we had kind of brought this up on Talking Cowboys earlier in the week, but you could argue that throughout the entire career of Dak Prescott, this may be the first time that he has not had an effective run game as a part of his offense. I mean, going all the way back to 2016, with the exception of maybe the couple games where Zeke was not available because of the suspension, you could say that Dak Prescott has had a run game or had some similar portion of a run game where he hasn't had that over the last couple of weeks. And when you look at Dak's most recent quarterback outings, let's just say, let's go against the last three losses. So against Kansas City, 65%, he had a quarterback rating of 58. Against New Orleans, or excuse me, that was a win, but against the Raiders, 68% passing, he had a 106, and then we'll go back to Denver, 73% quarterback rating, he only completed 48% of his passes. Well, in those games, the Cowboys did not run the ball effectively in any one of those. So I think early on against the team that you were able to run the ball against effectively back in week 5, you ran for 201, you were really all over them, both with Pollard and with Zeke. You could do that with Corey Clement. You could do that with Jaquan Hardy, even if you trust him to get in there as well. It's most likely going to be Zeke. There's a chance that Pollard plays. And if not, then Corey Clement, I think, can play that pretty well against his former team at that. So I want to establish the run. I don't care if it's 21, 20, 45. I don't care. Put somebody back there and get your offensive line right to be able to block up front. I think they will make a change. I don't know that for sure at the left guard spot. It's still up in the air, but I think Connor Williams.
I was going to ask you.
Just based off of what's been said and kind of the illusion that they're throwing out there, I think there's a shot that he's back in there at the left guard spot. We've seen the experiment. I'm okay with what they did to give Connor McGovern an opportunity to go and earn that starting job. But Connor Williams has been a much better run blocker than Connor McGovern
throughout
the course of the season, and it's been pretty much not even close. So I think now you'll see 52 back in there. I think you'll see the jumbo package, and I want to see Kellen Moore's creativity take an uptick. Because like you mentioned earlier, Dan, if this offense stays stagnant, Kellen Moore is going to get a lot of the blame there as well. You saw it early on. You got to get back to what you were doing. I don't know if they're sandbagging, trying to wait till the playoffs, till they rip it right back out and it's back into the bag. I need to see that bag again against the New York Giants, because like you said, this is a great game to kind of find that rhythm. You could do it again next week, build upon it against Washington. And then you got a great benchmark week 17 against the Arizona Cardinals, and then rest some guys week 18. You feel really good about that scenario, but it starts with getting it back right this week.
Yeah. And you know, there's a couple of things with that. So, you know, look, we know Pollard, you know, banged up with the foot. I have planters. I know the pain. Excruciating. It feels like razor blades cutting your feet. It is a really painful thing. You know, you have Zeke's knee, right? We have this. But one of the things, to put it back on Kellen, is there are a lot of runs up the middle in weird situations. And I think we all see it. And you hear people talk about it, like, you know, 3rd and 8, why are you running up the middle, right? Like, stretch it out, run it on the outside. And that's something I think Kellen needs to kind of get back into, is stretch that defense out. You know, you have the speed and the talent to, especially with your wide receivers, to be an efficient run game. It doesn't have to be a 200-yard running game. It has to be efficient enough to cause the threat, right? And that threat is what keeps defenses, as everybody says, honest, right? That should help Dak. You get that defense to the bite on those things a little bit more. You get them to kind of play to, you know, oh my gosh, Pollard's going to hit the corner and go. Like, you have to play that differently than, hey, you're just going to run up the middle with Pollard and good luck, right? So the other thing that we talked about right before this, and I've kind of alluded to it on some articles. I've talked about it online. So there's Kellen Moore. We are decent at motion pre-snap. Now, some of that is, of course, you know, you bring the wide receiver in to see if it's man versus zone, send them back out, right? Like, some of that is that. What we have seen, though, is almost no at the snap movement, right? And I think that's also affecting the release of the wide receivers, because defenses are now playing us differently than they did the first week, for 6 weeks, right? They're playing more press. They're getting up on that line. And so is that a problem? Is that something Kellen can fix? I don't know the answer to that. And so Kyle, like give us some insight on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think he had kind of played around with that both last year a little bit, not a ton. He's never wanted to do the running at the snap sort of deal. But he did. He employed, I think it was like 3% or 4% of the snaps against Tampa Bay week one. And I feel like it's not really been there since then. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a ton of success off of it. I think they had one first down grab off of it in that Tampa Bay game. But for the most part, I think they've used the motion as, like you said, it's an eyewash technique to try and find out what the defense is running. And then they'll make the call at the line of scrimmage. I'm also curious to know, and I mean, there's no way for me to know this unless I'm in the huddle, because you can't really ask this question anyways, but how many times Dak Prescott checks out of certain things with motion to simplify an offense? And Dak's never been one to be over complexed or perplexed about certain offenses and things of the sort. So I'm interested to see if maybe that's something that he's been dealing with, and maybe they want to just keep it simple for what's been running. But I agree with you. I think the more looks you give, and Kellen Moore's thrown every look in the book. He's thrown Lyle Collins and Connor McGovern dual fullback backfields before. So why have they not done something as simple as bringing Michael Gallup in, especially a guy like Amari Cooper, all three. How about all three guys who can play on the outside and play in the slot? Why not just bring them in and then send them on a go? That way that the defense doesn't have nearly as much time to kind of get set and figure things out. That mm-hmm. may just be part of the growth of Kellen Moore. Maybe it's a direct thought process from Mike McCarthy. I'm not exactly sure why there is such a lack of motion, but maybe it's something they need to look at.
Yeah, another thing that was pointed out this last week was pointed out by Cowboys fan favorite Dan Orlovsky. basically, but he was right. Like, we stopped pulling our linemen out. We stopped pulling them and as lead blockers and running to the outside as much. Mm-hmm. And it's causing a lot of teams to be able to seal off the outside and make Zeke cut back. You'll see a lot of times Zeke will start going to outside and then he'll cut back in the middle and it'll be like a 2 yard gain or something like that. When we have really good, we were really good at that in the beginning of the year, and we have really good pulling guards, and Martin and Will Williams was there. And I wonder if they weren't as comfortable with McGovern pulling. Little check from you on that one, but yep. It looks like they weren't as comfortable with McGovern, because that really stopped when Williams went out and McGovern came in. And then our running game, I was struggling a little bit when before McGovern came in, but it's gotten worse, I would say, since he's been in there. And I'm interested to see if they do make that switch. Hopefully they do. I think it would be the right thing to go back to Connor Williams if we start seeing some more pull action from the linemen and getting out in front and try to get the ball on the outside again.
And it kind of goes back to training camp. I had a conversation with one of the coaching staff personnel. I don't want to say specific names, but I when watching training camp, and you can see this on my Twitter, I was very impressed with what I saw from Connor McGovern.
So I
remember asking, I was like, hey, is there a chance Connor McGovern starts over Connor Williams at some point? And he goes, no, that guy can't really pick up the playbook. I mean, he hasn't been able to pick up the playbook. And so maybe it is as simple as that. And that was early training camp. So at the time, it wasn't really a big storyline. It was basically like, oh, okay, he's just taking a little bit longer. He's a younger player than Connor Williams, and he just maybe needs that adjustment process. But maybe it's a longer-term issue with Connor McGovern, the fact that he hasn't been able to be pulled. I mean, Connor Williams, it was almost once out of every three plays.
He's very athletic.
Going all over the place. And he is. That's just the build of Connor Williams as opposed to Connor McGovern. McGovern's a bigger player. Mm-hmm. He's more stable in his feet, but he's not as much of an athlete of being able to run long distances and pick up a block. A couple of opportunities early in the season, going specifically against, let's say, the New England Patriots, when the Cowboys were able to run the ball efficiently against that defense, they used a ton of movement from their offensive line. So I do, if they make the change to Connor Williams, I expect that to return pretty quick.
Yeah, and one of the things I also pointed to, play calling, not just Williams, but when Tyron was out, you saw a lot of screens over top of Steele, right? Yes. Because I think they felt like pressure was going to come from that side. Mm-hmm. So let's get over behind it, right? And I'm not curious if that's going to remain the same with Tyron out, right? Are they going to readjust that and say, okay, because we don't, our left tackle isn't, look, Steele looks decent on right tackle, definitely does, hasn't looked decent on left tackle. Mm-hmm. Are they going to call it this game or next game or however long Tyron's out? And then you had the McGovern issue, right? Like, and so now you're doing this dual thing and your whole left side is looking pretty shaky.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just something to kind of look at for the next game to see, you know, how they handle that left tackle. And look, as much crap as I gave Tyler Biadasz early on the season, he has really come around.
Yep.
He still has some mental lapses. He still has some issues, especially hand usage. His hand usage sometimes is just, I don't know. Like, you just watch it and you're like, man, why are you pushing on the right shoulder pad and like middle, dude? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, hit him in the chest. But he's really come around. But if you don't have a left guard and a left tackle that you can be secure at, it's not going to be, you're still going to have problems. So, all right. So one thing we always do during this is we do ask for a prediction. Okay. So we're going to ask for a prediction, but give me one offensive and one defensive player that you think is going to be the guy, the one to watch, one offense, one defense.
Okay, I'll give you my offensive guy, and I'm going to get creative here, but it's not normally the creative answer. My guy is Dak Prescott. I think he answers the bell. I think he's upset. I think he's pissed off. I think he wants to get right back into the thick of things. I think he comes out and makes some noise with some numbers. It's against a defense that he's very comfortable throwing against, that they don't have a whole lot of pressure coming at him. It's probably the worst defensive line the Cowboys have faced since prior to the bye week, if we're being really honest. So I think he's going to have more time to throw the ball than he has all year long. So I think he does have a bounce back game. And then defensively, I'm going to say Anthony Brown. I think AB had two opportunities against Washington to reel in interceptions. He had two separate picks that went right through his hands. And you mentioned it right in the open, Dan, of talking about how he has played well. I still think he thinks about that Raiders game in the back of his head. And they do challenge him, and they will challenge him with Mike Glennon. And I think he's going to have at least one pick. He may have two picks. And if he has two picks, I want you guys to call me out on Twitter and say, Kyle had this.
100%.
Because I'm going out on a limb to say Anthony Brown has an opportunity for two more picks, and I think he comes down with at least one of those.
Nice. Right. I like it.
What about you? Oh, and we'll get score prediction. Yes. Score prediction.
Right now, I'll say 31-17, but the Cowboys are off the gas in the fourth quarter, and it's like a late touchdown that kind of adds on to it late.
All right. I can respect that. Joseph.
Okay, so my offensive player is going to be Michael Gallup. We saw last week the Giants, they don't really have a lot in the secondary. They're even more depleted than they were last week. The Chargers were able to get over the top of them quite a few times. So I think that they're going to target Gallup in some deep passing game this week, trying to mix it up, bring the deep passing game back we haven't really had in a while. So I think Michael Gallup's going to catch a few of them, maybe even a touchdown or two. Defense, I'm going to go with Tank Lawrence. I think he's getting better and better each game. Like, he was already good when the game he came back against the Saints, he was already good. I think he played another great game against the football team, and I think he's going to continue and build off of that. I'll go with the bold. I'll go out on the limb like Kyle went out on the limb. I'll say Tank gets 3 sacks.
Wow. Okay. All right. So score?
Score prediction. I don't have a lot of faith in the Giants. I'm saying 37-13.
All right. So, I've gone back and forth, and I'm waiting for Dalton Schultz to have that game, right? I'm waiting for it. And look, the Giants, if they're soft anywhere, it's up the seam.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it, but I'm going to go with CD. I think they're going to test that seam. They're going to use CD to test that seam. They're going to use Amari and Gallup on the outside and just try to scorch that middle of the field where the Giants are abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Abysmal in the middle of the field, right? So I'm going to go CD Lamb. On defense, I'm actually going to go Curse.
Nice.
Right. So the last time I did it, he had an interception. Like, I was cheering. You know, people were like, yes, you predicted it right. So here's why I think the forgotten guy on him, it isn't just the fact that he can cover. It's the fact that he's good against the run.
Mm-hmm.
He is good at, coming down and crashing that line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you see that quarterback leak out, he's one of the first guys there.
Yeah.
Right? And you see that a lot. You'll see him pop up and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you're kind of there. So I'll go on the limb and I'll say he gets a sack and an interception this game.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. I have a gut feeling. We'll see. Because they have sent him off and on every once in a while. You'll see him get sent. So I think he'll get one this game. Final score, I think it's going to be like 34-17. Again, I agree, Kyle. I think they'll let off the gas a little bit. I'm of the ilk. Like, look, I've seen this team fold when you let off the gas. Just keep your foot on the gas. But
yeah, that's me too.
That's some PTSD for me.
I agree with you, but also right now when you're trying to get healthy for a playoff run, I understand letting off. Like, and by letting off the gas, I'm not saying like let's just run the ball three and out, and
have it, I like to call it.
Yeah, have it not turn into what Washington turned into. That's letting off the gas too much.
That's hitting the brakes.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. That's perfect. Let off the gas. Don't hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always used to joke Jason Garrett would go into prevent offense.
Oh,
and you see the three runs up the middle right in a row. You're like 1 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard. And they're stacking the box with 9 people. And you're like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Like, you're running the clock out. But all right.
I see people screaming last week for that, though. Like, when the Dak threw the interception, obviously it was a bad throw, but it was a good play call. Schultz was wide open. That would have gained, like, 20 yards. But people were like, oh, no, they should just run it 3 times and punt it to run out the clock. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, no.
Yeah, and look, Schultz, like, we can talk, but, you stop on a route when your quarterback's mobile.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely.
I think we all know you work back to the quarterback, you keep going, you give him that alley, you stopped. It was a bad throw, but there could have been some other things that happened there. And we've seen a couple of those for the Cowboys where a player stops a route or takes the inside break versus the outside, and Dak's like, hey, I'm throwing to this gap, this pocket, yeah. And where are you? We've seen him kind of look at him like, where were you? So – okay, so we got this. We got the last week. We got this week, Kyle. We couldn't do it. We always talk about it here. Let's touch upon the draft in the last couple minutes here.
Before we get to that, let me get my because my questions for my game kind of lead into the draft. So let me do that. It's just five questions. Right. It's this segment is Would You Rather?
Okay.
So first one, would you rather re-sign? You can only re-sign one. Would you rather re-sign Malik Hooker or DeMonte Casey? Kyle.
Ooh, that's tough. Because you've seen kind of both guys play better at different times.
Mm-hmm.
I think man, that's tough. I think, and they're so similar in terms of the history and the contract that they would earn. That's a good one. I'm going to say Hooker. I don't know why. I just feel like as the season's gone along and he's had more time to adjust into a Dan Quinn defense, he's kind of emerged as the better player than KZ. And I'm not even taking KZ's off the field thing into consideration here. I'm more just picking the player.
Yeah.
But I think Hooker has kind of been that better, the better version of KZ from week seven on, at least over the last couple of weeks. He's really started playing a little bit better. They just need that guy over the top because also, honestly, Jaron Curse has played so well, kind of coming up as that box safety, that hybrid look, that they haven't needed any of those guys on the back end. So I would say Hooker, but that's a close one. That could change in 3 weeks. You can ask me the same question. I might say KZ.
I'll agree. I'll say Hooker. And one thing, I think we talked about it early in the season when we signed him, is that Hooker can play both positions.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I would rather keep the guy I feel can give me more versatility. Mm-hmm. And I think Hooker does that. You know, heaven forbid something does happen to Curse, you know, you slide Hooker over. I don't feel as big of a drop off as I would if I said, okay, KZ, you're going to take over. Right. So that's the only reason I'll go there. It's just because I like his versatility. And yes, he's been the better player, but I really like the versatility that he can offer you if you need it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to say Hooker as well for the reasons you guys stated. He has played really well coming up and making tackles. We saw a few of them last game. Yeah. As the season has gone on, I think it took him a little bit longer to get going. But as the season's gone on, I think he started to show out and he's continuing to improve. Okay, the next question is another, would you rather re-sign? You can only re-sign one. Would you rather re-sign Dalton Schultz or Connor Williams?
Give me Connor Williams right now because of the way that he could help this run game. And I still have Blake Jarwin on the roster at the same time. Dalton Schultz has really allowed himself to become a receiving threat. And I respect the hell out of Dalton Schultz for doing that because he's really played well as a receiver, but there have been so many lapses in his blocking throughout the course of the season to where you can look at it and say, hey, you were the reason this play was blown up by a defense. There are so many different times where you could look at it and say, man, Schultz, you got to give me more there. Got to give me more as a blocker. Great receiver, found his way as a receiver, and he's going to take a bigger contract elsewhere. I think you could get Connor Williams for a decent hometown discount to be your starting left guard if you wanted him, if you didn't want to replace him in the draft. There's an opportunity to maybe talk about that a little bit with the offensive line being a worry in the draft coming up. But I think still you're not going to draft a guard over maybe drafting a tackle the next couple of years. So I still think Connor Williams would fit better there.
Yeah, as much as I've been pounding the table for this upcoming draft to rework the line a little bit, you know, outside the holds, Connor Williams has been solid, right? The holds are what everybody is like, oh, he's terrible. No, he's getting hit for something, whether it's a technique thing or whatever, he's getting hit for it. So I'm going to agree. I think Connor Williams provides you more value over time, right? And look, I love what Schultz has done. You have Jarwin, you have McKeon, you have some guys who, if you need a receiver as a tight end, you have those. Right, Kyle's point, you don't really have a blocking tight end right now. You don't have a guy you can put out there and really help Terrence Steele on left tackle. You just have it, right? So, yeah, I'm going to go Connor Williams. I think his overall long-term value is just better.
Yeah, I agree. I would go Connor Williams as well. Okay, number three. Would you rather – this touches on what you guys talked about just a little bit ago. Would you rather rest starters after securing the NFC East title or play for higher seeding?
Ooh, play for the higher seeding for sure. Yeah, let that thing ride. Let's get some momentum going in. You can rest the starters week 18 if you feel – or if you're locked into a position. If you're – you play until you're locked in. Even if you could jump from 4 to 5, that's the difference from playing the Rams in the first round or playing a Washington football team in the first round or playing a San Francisco 49ers in the first round. Go get the seeding wherever you can. And honestly, this thing's wide open. I think Green Bay they have an opportunity to lose maybe one game or two.
Yep.
You don't have a whole lot of room to work with Green Bay, but with Arizona, you got them. You could beat them. Still think, especially as banged up as they are right now, they're not going to have DeAndre Hopkins. You could beat the Arizona Cardinals.
I agree.
And then you could win your last four games. You're going in there with just four losses. I think you have a lot of momentum, even if you don't have a ton of guys rested up.
Yeah. Dan?
I'm always for playing for seeding.
Yeah.
Right. You get bye weeks if you get one. You get home games. You heighten your chance of keeping home games, right? And that's something we don't talk about. If you're the number two seed, number one loses, guess what? You now have home field advantage, right? Like,
yep.
You're pretty much guaranteed it. So I am all for your higher seeding every time, all day. Now, I get resting your players, and I agree. If you're in that last week and it's locked, rest them. If you're in that last week and you have a chance between one and four, okay, now you might want to be playing them, right?
Yeah.
Win, you get one. Lose, you get four. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to give them a week. You'll get a bye week if you win.
Yeah.
Right? You get your week of rest. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we're in agreement there. Okay, so moving into the playoffs, would you rather play an NFC East opponent in the first round or a non-divisional opponent?
Oh, give me the NFC East all day, baby. I don't care if they win any of these games late. I still, compared to playing either one of those other teams I mentioned, the Rams or the 49ers, the most likely other two teams in the NFC playoffs, I still would rather take Washington or Philly for sure.
Oh, that not a question in my mind. Because look, if we're going to be real honest, none of the other teams in the NFC East have a real quarterback right now.
Nope. Yeah, that's true. I get it. We kind of – Dak owns the NFC East. He owns these teams. My only thing is I hate playing a team three times. Like, that's just – ugh. So,
man, they don't have quarterbacks right now. And
that's,
I'm
okay. That's
so much
true.
Of a talent discrepancy too. Yeah,
there really is. They're not on the same talent level. You guys are right on that. All right, this last one will lead us into draft talk, but it is a – Dan Rupert special. I made this one especially for Dan. Okay. Would you rather, and you have to choose one of the two. You can't back out, Dan. Would you rather draft a running back or a linebacker with our first round pick?
Oh, you got to go, Dan. You got that one first.
Man, I, wow. You know, I would probably go linebacker. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I'd probably go linebacker, right? Because we have seen running backs all over the draft, right? Like, we always joke with Dave, like Dave always talks about it, right? Like, running backs don't matter. And, you know, we get all these jokes, ha, ha, ha. But we have seen that in this NFL, the efficiency of a running back, Tony Pollard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's an efficient runner. And that's what you need in this day and age. So I think I would probably go linebacker. But I wouldn't just go like a Leighton Vander Esch type, right? Like, it's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a guy who can do the hybrid thing, that can play that safety, you know, play the spy if I need him to, and free up Micah to do other things, right? I want the guy who's going to give me a hybrid look as a linebacker. And I think, gosh, I think that's where your value will be, not because I dislike running backs, but because I think the way this deep team is built, that's the way to go.
So basically you're making us choose between Isaiah Spiller or Kenneth Walker III, or like a Devin Lloyd and a mm-hmm. Quay Walker, something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, I would take the linebacker because specifically with this team right this second, you have a defensive core of young guys that are just continuing to come up. Diggs, Parsons, Gallimore, Hill. I mean, you've got all these guys. And then you've got Leighton Vander Esch in the middle there that would be on a contract year. So is he going to be re-signed by that point? Probably not. Is he going to be testing the market when he gets the free agency? Probably so. So, yeah, go draft a linebacker. Whereas you still have Zeke under contract, still have Pollard under contract. You can make that work, like you said, in the later rounds of the draft. I would go and get one of those guys, though. And that's the thing about Micah Parsons is that we knocked him a lot on the draft show for being a linebacker and positional mm-hmm. value are a lot of the buzzwords.
Yep.
But the thing is he's not your typical linebacker. He's more of a pass rusher than you thought by a ton. The yeah. fact that he's going to be a great linebacker, you knew that he was going to be a really good linebacker, but the fact that he's more than a linebacker automatically should have raised his draft stock. And luckily 11 other teams didn't see it either. So the Cowboys ended up having to take him there.
Six and a half in 2 years of college, mm-hmm. right? Like this wasn't there. Like it.
Yeah.
I watched a ton. I'm a Buckeyes fan by, you know, as well. So I watch a lot of Penn State, but like, he was good. He wasn't this.
No, he was not.
I don't know.
I don't know what he did in his year away from football, but
it was the right thing.
Keep doing it.
Which is super rare, right? Like we always talk about these guys who take a year off or take time off, and you're like, man, and you see it, you're like, man, this guy hasn't developed right. Micah did the exact opposite of everything anybody thought he was going to do, and it's
yeah.
I was wrong about him, you know, yeah, like
he's
going to be an off the ball linebacker yep. based off what I saw on tape, and man, here he is, you know.
Yeah. So, Dan Quinn.
Yeah. So speaking of draft, look, Joseph and I joke about it every week. Is there a number one quarterback? Let's just start there. Is there a number one quarterback? Your guess is as good as mine at this point.
So here's the thing. I'm in the minority, I think. I have a number one quarterback, and I think it's by a considerable margin. And he was a Heisman finalist. I think Kenny Pickett's the real deal, my friends. I think the way that he can step up, he's got a next level arm already. He's got that next level swagger, that next level confidence as well. He's got the size, he's got the build, he's got the mobility. I like him a lot. And the thing is he never really had anything at Pitt that was screaming over the top offense, but Pitt was one of the best offenses altogether all year long. And they're not going to have any other first rounders at the receiver position, at the offensive line position. They've got Pickett. And that's the kind of quarterback I'm looking at. And honestly, he reminds me, not in terms of a comparison player wise, but he reminds me of Dak Prescott. In the situation that they had in their respective schools, it's a school that has had some success in the past, is in a solid place in terms of conference and competition, but they didn't have that overarching talent except for the quarterback. They had a quarterback that could win them some games and that was gritty, a leader. He came out and was just phenomenal in Mississippi State. I put that same comparison in terms of the situation that they're in with Kenny Pickett and what he did at Pitt. So I have him as my number one quarterback. If I were a GM that needed a quarterback, I would try and go up and get that guy in the top 10. Because in a draft like this, like you said, where there isn't that number one guy, at least at the moment, this could all change in terms of the draft process. We're still very, very early on. But if nothing changes and it's still a very shrug quarterback class, he might be the one guy that you could maybe count on to potentially be a franchise guy in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, I like Pickett. I like Coral. I actually like Riddler in today's NFL.
I do too. Yeah.
Right? I think he has some decision-making issues he's got to work on. His accuracy, he'll flash it, and then you're like, man, what was that throw? You know, but I think in today's NFL, especially with the ability to – with like a Baltimore, let's say, the way Baltimore's offense runs, like in general, or San Francisco's offense runs, he would fit that kind of role, right? Yeah. And I think he can be a solid quarterback with a little bit of work, but that's my thing.
There's some quarterbacks who, in general, probably aren't going to be that good, and like they're not that great in general, but if they go to the right system, they could be really good. Prime example this year, Mac Jones. I don't think anybody expected Mac Jones to be as what he's doing right now, but it's mostly because he went to the system that he was built to play in.
I got laughed at when I said that I thought Mac Jones reminded me of Justin Burrow, and then I thought he had an opportunity to be the offensive rookie of the year, and I got laughed at openly on the draft show, and you better bet I'm going to bring him up in the draft show to come back.
When he wins rookie of the year, yeah.
You're exactly right. I'm bringing it up.
He was built for that system. He's like literally, it's like Belichick went and made a clone. years ago of what he wanted as a quarterback, and he's just waiting. He's been waiting for it to mature and come of age, and now it is.
His arm strength was always a big question for me, right? Mm-hmm. That arm strength was always the biggest question.
You just don't need it in that system, though. That's why it's so great.
So, okay, so we know that we've talked quarterbacks. So I think we can all agree, like, one of the top picks in this draft has to be offensive line of some form, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the first two or three rounds, probably. You know, I've been pounding the table for a tackle for 2 years because of the health of Tyron. And then we found out last year with the weight and the hip issues with Collins, you know, I felt like, hey, if you're going to start grooming, this is the time, right? And I know Ball, but I'm not trusting that yet. So this is a really pretty good class for offensive line, right? Yeah. And so as we're moving forward, what groups are you particularly looking at? I'm seeing a deep offensive line. I'm actually seeing a fairly, not great, but a fairly decent safety class, okay?
Yep.
Not great, but a fairly decent one. Wide receiver is still, I can't figure that one out. It looks like it's top heavy and bottom heavy, kind of figuring out that middle piece a little bit. But again, long way to go. Mm-hmm. However, defensive tackle is maybe, but it's not great after about the first round, and then it kind of drops off. So knowing what the Cowboys need, right? What groups are you guys specifically focusing on that you think are deep, and which ones do you think are shallow?
I think I agree with you on the offensive line. I think both the guard class, the centers, the tackles, I think you're going to have some really, really good options, both in the first round and the second round. I've already tweeted out about a guy I really like is maybe a second round, late first, depending on how far the Cowboys go in the playoffs, of a guy like a Darian Kinnard. He's an offensive tackle slash guard, because they think he translates more as a guard. I think he translates more as a guard, but he played tackle throughout his career at Kentucky, and he was graded the best run defender, not 1 year, not 2 years, but 3 years straight in the SEC. And I mean, going up against SEC edge rushers, and he's one of the best run defenders that you've seen in quite some time. I think he's a guy you could look at, especially because you see the position flex. Throw him in at guard. He could play your left guard all season long if you really wanted to. And then whenever Tyron Smith done with his career, you could swing him right back out there, and he's your heir to the throne there. As far as what you said with the safety class, I agree. I think you're about 10, 11, 12 safeties deep there that could come in and make pretty good impacts. Kyle Hamilton, it might be one of the best safeties I've ever watched. I mean, that guy can do everything on the football field. He's a little bit slow out of his breaks sometimes. As Barry Church told me, one of the terms is stepping in the bucket. He kind of rounds his breaks a little bit. He kind of takes a couple extra unneeded steps, and he steps in the bucket a couple times. But he is a phenomenal football player, and I think he should be a top 10 pick at the safety spot. But you can go all the way down. There's a guy out of Baylor, Jalen Petrie, who was the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. I think he's going to be a third, fourth round pick, but he's a really good player and probably could start for an NFL team as a rookie. So I think the offensive line, I think the safety class, the cornerback class all look pretty darn good. I'm not as impressed, I think, with the D tackles as maybe you were. I think the edge rushers are good again this year. I'm not super impressed with the wide receivers at the moment. Running backs are deep. Tight ends, I think, are pretty darn good. But that's kind of where I'm at in terms of some of these position groups moving into the early stages of the NFL draft process.
Yeah, the D tackles, there's a smaller group early on, and then you wait a while, and then you get a group. And so it's not this
great. The Leals, the Davis, the Winfrey's, and then after that, you're looking at like –
third, fourth round.
I can't even say a lot of these names, honestly. Dante Stills out of West Virginia, who hasn't been a guy in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Third, fourth round after that. So, you know, if Urban doesn't come back, that's, you know, hey, yeah, they might be a guy. I'm just saying. So, Joseph, what are you looking at?
Yeah, you guys have really touched on a lot of it. So I don't want to repeat it too much. But, you know, the offensive line is big. I want a guy like Kyle was explaining, a guy who has inside outside experience, who can play both, who could, you know, because you have your tackles. You're not, I don't think you're going to, even if you use a, you're like, hey, this guy's a tackle and he's only a tackle and he's a great tackle and he's a tackle for the future. He's probably not going to start over Tyron Smith when Tyron Smith is healthy, you know? So, you know, if you just be a backup just in case, you know, so I think we have that and still a little bit. So I want a guy who can play that inside out, you know, he could be a left guard. And if you need and you get in a pinch, you know, move him out. When Tyron retires, you move him out there. So I like that kind of what, Collins was able to do, LAL Collins early in his career. So I want a guy like that. We've talked about, I can't think of his name from Ohio State. Dan, help me out. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we talked about that. Safety as well is another position that you guys talked about that's really good. It just really depends on what we do at the safety position. How many of these guys do we re-sign? We got like three of them on a one-year deal with Kearse, Casey, and Hooker. Like, how many are we bringing back? If we bring back all of them, safety is not that big of a priority for me anymore, you know? Linebacker later on, we did a mock draft a couple weeks ago, looked at the linebacker in the later and in the middle round. So stuff like that, but mostly in the high, if you're looking at the high, I'm really looking at the offensive line, because I think that's important that we need to get it. And then the wide receivers for later on, that it not being a great middle of the round draft for wide receivers, like it has been in the past 4 to 5 years, makes me take a second look at Michael Gallup and being like, what can we do? You know, how much of him missing so many games has dropped his price tag, and how much has it dropped his price tag? Will we be able to say, hey, come back, what, give us one more year and you get a full year, you can get your price tag back up again. You know, yeah. Like maybe we can work out something like that and hopefully get a year to where maybe, you know, the next draft is better. But right now it's not particularly strong where I'm like, man, I can replace Gallup in the middle of the rounds, because I don't think I can right now. So.
Yeah. And look, we saw the development of Simi Fehoko, who, look, he's got to be a better route runner, but he has the athleticism.
Yeah.
To play that outside with the speed, right? Like he has it. But man, if you can sell your routes better and you can cut out of those routes better, not round them off so much, create yourself separation, you can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. You just gotta get there. I wanted to make sure we talked about that, because I know Kyle loves the draft.
I do.
Yes. it's the best.
Probably it's, more than I do.
Draft season's almost as good as the regular season. There's not, for me, there's not much drop off. It's incredible. Like I love the NFL offseason / draft season more than I love any other sport. Like that doesn't say like I don't like other sports. I love other sports, but like the draft season is like, I'm more involved in the draft season than I am in other sports. That's I'm weird like that.
Worn out though sometimes with it. Like, you know, you're in the seventh round and you're looking at this running back out of, you know, Liberty, and you're like, oh gosh, do I have to keep looking at these guys, you know? Yeah. But hey, I hit on Khalil Herbert last year. If you remember,
there you go.
Cowboys late rounds. I will take that credit.
I got one more question before we get out of here for Kyle. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard something. I'm playing to your insider knowledge of the team, and me and Dan have been since day one huge stands of Nick Ralston. We're huge fans. And I think that he would tremendously help this run game. We saw him in preseason where he's able to pick up blocks. He's a great blocker. He's a very good lead blocker. He's taking linebackers out of the holes. Short yardage situations in the preseason, he picked up every single one he got the opportunity for. And if you watch his college tape, the guy can catch out of the backfield as well and can play tight end. You know, he's talented. What's the hesitation with getting him some snaps in game time?
I think it just kind of boils down to numbers, honestly. And I agree with you. I think there was a lot of love for him being a local product and being that kind of player that they've had in the past with like an Olawale and some of those fullbacks that they've employed previously I honestly think he got beat out in training camp by Shewa Olanolua kind of for that role, because I really liked what Shewa was doing as a pass catcher, as a blocker, as one of those guys who could lead the way as a fullback. And then basically when Olanolua went down, they allowed Ralston to step in and try and play that role. And I think size was a big deal. And then I think his numbers but the offense, like as a whole, numbers wise, you needed room for guys like Malik Turner and Simi Fehoko on special teams. And Ralston, I guess, could have played the special teams role. And I think he probably could. But basically those guys just kind of beat him out there. I still think he's in the conversation for guys that could be elevated from time to time, depending on what week it is. But I mean, they've been using that jumbo package. So
yeah.
I think there's a lot of reason they use that instead of maybe pulling up a guy like a Ralston, even though they probably could use him.
I'd use his strength to help Chip.
Yeah.
On that left tackle, right? Like
pull some semi trucks, my friend.
He could be your blocking tight end, in my opinion. Like he could be that guy. So I think he's Jeremy Sprinkle has not done it for me. Like he was brought in for a blocking tight end. He might be the worst blocking tight end we have. Like that's what's the problem. So replace Sprinkle with him, and I think he could provide a better option there.
I think the one thing, and I'm looking it up right now, Jeremy Sprinkle is 6 foot.
His bigger guy, yeah.
And Nick Ralston is 6 foot even, 240 mm-hmm. pounds. I mean, that's the other thing, is it's more of a size thing. He's not big enough to play the tight end position at the NFL level. He was able to do it at Arizona State. He was able to do it at these smaller schools previously down in Louisiana, but I just don't see him as that tight end role going up against those guys. And if they threw that in there for the preseason, it's been a while since I've watched preseason tape, but that's definitely one thing that you could look at.
Yeah, they didn't really use him as a tight end preseason. He was mostly fullback. I was just saying, like, he played the tight end at the college level. But you're right. It was mostly at Arizona State and then Louisiana where he played. So you do have that. And he is only 6 foot. There's not that many 6 foot tight ends in the league.
By the way, Dan, I do have a 7th round Liberty running back that you need to watch. His name's Joshua Mack, redshirt senior. He's a transfer from Maine, very physical runner. He's a grinder. They called him Freeze because he just freezes defenders in the hole. He had like over 790 total yards last couple of years. He's been a little banged up, but he's going to be a late round guy out of Liberty. Watch him as a potential like read options, change of pace back that's going to come in the draft. Since you said Liberty, Rudy running back. I just thought I'd put that out there.
Where I got that from. I've seen that somewhere. I don't know. I haven't gotten to running backs too much yet, but that name may have, I'm just saying. But yeah, so I want to thank you personally from both of us. Thank you for coming onto the show. We've had a great time. Where can we find you? If anybody wants to find you, where can we find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Kyle_Yeomans. I'm very active on Twitter and I try and keep up with everybody who sends the messages there. And then you can also find me on DallasCowboys.com. I'm on the draft show, Talking Cowboys. We host the pre and post game shows as well from the Star in Frisco, do a lot of different stuff with just a fantastic group of guys and girls that really know their stuff. And we have a ton of fun. So, yeah, check it out. DallasCowboys.com and at Kyle_Yeomans.
The mothership.
The mothership, baby.
Really calls it that. So funny. Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at VJAMassey. And then also you can find my written work, StarBoysNetwork.com.
And, of course, you can find me at Dan_Rupert, RUPPERT. And you can find me on FanSided. I write for Sport DFW. Find me there. And of course, find us right here on 4D. So thank you guys again. And of course, as always, go Cowboys, and we will catch you on the flip.
Let's go.